Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You are God with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Lord, we trust in the efficacy of that name, Jesus. And this morning, as we call upon your name, that name of the Lord Jesus, we avail for us in every area of life and godliness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, even as we go into your word, you will reveal unto us your counsel and your mind. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Let us put hands together for the Lord. I bless the name of the Lord this morning. Let me say happy new month to every one of us. And I'm also glad to be back in church after a few weeks. And I bring you good tidings and warm greetings from my brother. Some of us who know him, Brother Adewuyi. Oluwadamilari, we remember him in Japan. He sent his greetings, and I can tell you he's in very good shape. This morning, I'm going to conclude the message which I started before I left. And can someone, I want to know whether you're a good student, tell me what is the title of that message? Anybody? Prepared by Bishop. Put hands together for that, her sister. I was speaking unprepared by vision. And I could not conclude that message. And I did promise that I would wrap it up. And remember, we took our text from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and then Proverbs 29, verse 18. But I just want us to read Proverbs 29, 18 today. Before we go on, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You remember that I did tell you that vision is the unveiling or defined agenda. It's about direction. It's about purpose. And I told you that any life that will be lived on purpose must be prepared by vision. And I remember I mentioned insight. We talk about review. I talk of insight, about reflection. I talk about foresight, which about direction. And I talk about action that galvanizes everything together. And I remember that I told you that there are some things that will make you to be able to be in a position to articulate a vision that comes from the Lord. Because when a man does not have direction, he begins to beat about the bush. And when a man designs an agenda for himself, he set up for failure. And let me tell you something. Is there anybody in this church today that doesn't need direction? Can I see your hands up? So if you need direction from God, then you need the vision from God. We have today. We already know yesterday. Am I right? We know what happened yesterday. And we are contending with today. But you know one thing about tomorrow? One thing that is certain about tomorrow is its uncertainty. Did you hear me very well? One thing, you don't know tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I can tell you one thing is certain about tomorrow. And the only certainty about tomorrow is its uncertainty. And therefore, as a child of God, God does not want to confront tomorrow blindly. ignorantly, without knowing where to go. And I said, for you to actually be guided by God, for you to have a vision from God, I said, I will talk about four things. And I was able only to mention one because I spent a long time on introduction. I talk about relationship. Do you remember? And that is where I actually ended. And I did remember that I told you that you cannot really have a vision from God if you are not in relationship with Him. And you cannot relate with God from a distance. And again, you cannot relate with Him by proxy. Today, I'm going to go quickly because of our time to the other three things, and I will go to bless your life from the Word of God. The next thing about relationship is communication. You can only get a vision through communication. Am I right? It has to be communicated to you. So if you are not in communication with God, how can you receive a vision from Him? You start with relationship. You start relating. But if you are related, there must be communication. How many people actually communicated with God this morning before coming to church? Yet today is Sunday. Many people believe, I'm just going to church. Let me just wake up. Let me just go to the church. I'm going to receive from God. There's no need to communicate. I told you then that, you know, many people come to church to receive information. And I said there's difference between information and communication. You have to communicate with God regularly. If you really, you want God to guide you. And communicate is two way. You speak to God and God speaks to you. You speak to God and God talks to you. So until there's this two-way communication or relationship, it's not complete. You pray, you receive. And if you do not have time to really speak to Him, how can He talk to you? I don't know how many of us are too busy. We are too occupied that we cannot speak with our Father. We can only struggle to talk to Him 5 minutes before you rush out of the room because your class is there, your job is there, your appointment is there, your assignment is there. But you cannot receive direction from God if you are not communicating with Him. And so I will just say a few things about this communication quickly. The first thing you need to know is that, one, apart from talking to God, you must learn to listen to Him. Many of us were very good prayer warriors, where people can pray from now till evening, but they do not know how to hear from Him. If you go to the book of Psalm chapter 62, I want us to look at it. Psalm chapter 62, verse 11. What does it say? Say, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. I don't know whether this actually clicks in your spirit. If the psalmist say, God spoke once, and I did what? I heard twice. It means when God spoke unto him, it clicks in his heart and it reverberates. That's why God can speak once and he could hear twice. But many of us, God can speak several times. We don't hear nothing. Let me tell you something. God is not dumb. Therefore, you must not be deaf. We are not serving a God that is dumb. Psalmist say, God has spoken once, but I have heard him twice. This year, as we progress into the second month, I want you to come to cultivate the habit of setting time apart just to listen to God.
after you have read your Bible, after you have prayed, you can just go on your knee, just be still on your bed, just open your mind unto him, waiting to hear from him. After you must speak it on him by prayer, after you must hear from him from this word, take some time to learn to speak unto him. And before him to speak unto you, do not just be in a hurry to rush through the Bible, to rush through your prayer, without waiting for feedback from God. Wait and hear what is going to happen. I can tell you something. My God and your God is not dumb. You cannot be praying 7 days in a week and God will refuse to speak unto you. And when God does not speak unto you, you will lack direction. And in this, I want to know that as you wait on God, you connect unto him. And it's impossible to connect to someone that you cannot comprehend. You need to connect to God in listening unto him. And God will speak through one or two ways. Either by what he has written in his word, or by what he's saying unto you directly. But the problem with many people is that we are rushing to fulfill our no set goal for the year. And we are running on empty fuel. You can imagine somebody wants to go to Lagos. And you say, yes, I have my car, it's very good. But I want to make Lagos from Ife in 2 hours. Even if the road is good and there's no fuel in your engine, can you really go far? Can you really go far? That is what many of us are doing. We want God to push us to our goals, to our destination, but we are running on empty tank. Elijah made this mistake before. God told him to go ahead. Somebody said, God has told me this year, he's going to do this. God has promised us this year of new tidings, glad tidings. It's year of visitation. Yes, you can be rejoicing that. But we cannot run towards that vision on empty fuel. When God told Elijah that he should go, and after he was frustrated, he thought he was going to die. And God told him, go and meet me. Come and meet me. I want to have an appointment with you. And Elijah wanted to go and meet God on empty tank. If you look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 to 9, is it 5 to 8 rather? 1 Kings chapter 19, let's look at it. 1 Kings chapter 19. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And what did he do? Verse 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay him down again. Then verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched and said, arise. And it because the journey is too long, is too great for thee. And what does verse 8 say? Verse 8. And he arose and eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the Horeb, the mount of God. God already promised to meet Elijah on Mount Horeb. And Elijah was eager to go and meet him. But in his desperation to meet God, to meet the target, he didn't remember to refuel his tank. I don't know the goals you have set for yourself this year. You want to expand your business. You want to go higher academically. You want international connection. You want to get married. You want to settle down. You want to have children. But These are the things that have clouded your mind. You do not know that you need to fuel your tank to give you the energy to actually accomplish this. I want to challenge this morning. No matter the goals that you have this year, no matter your pursuit, never forget to have enough time to refuel before God. Refuel it by studying His word. Refuel it by praying consistently and honestly. Refuel it by waiting on Him. This is what can guarantee success. This is what can guarantee the fulfillment of purpose. Don't just be engrossed in running to just go and meet your target. Yes, because I want to make first class. I'm reading 23 hours at 24 hours. No time for fellowship, no time for prayer, no time for God. Because I want to expand my business, there's no time for fellowship, no time for God, no time for service. Because I have something I am pursuing, I want connection, I want to be known in my discipline, I don't have time for service. If you are doing this, you are running on empty tank. Tell somebody, don't run on empty tank. The only way that can guarantee success this year is for you not to run on empty tank. And for some of us, our tank might not be empty, but our tank is depleted. Let us refuel. This year, the Lord is going to surprise us. The Lord is going to visit us. The Lord is going to turn things around. But let us refuel. Let us make sure that we wait on God. Let us make sure that we are in communication with Him. Let us make sure that we are in intimacy with Him. Let us speak to Him and let us create time to listen to Him. And let me tell you something. For us to hear from God, many times, patience and quietness is important. Why? Because God sometimes speaks in whispers. God just whispers. At times God thunders. It's in the Bible. Am I right? Is it not in the Bible? That God thunders. And so many people think God will always speak loud and blow the trumpet. No. Sometimes God just speaks in whispers. And so if you are not quiet and you are not patient enough, you just finish your quiet time and just share the grace and just lay down for 1 minute, after I just get up, say blessed be God. Meanwhile, God is waiting for you to really stay still with Him. I want many of us to try this experiment. Every time after your quiet time, don't just rush out. After you have finished praying and reading the Bible, just stay there for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. Just open your mind to God and see whether God will not speak unto you. I am telling you what I've tried and what is working for me. I'm not talking to you theoretically. I am talking to you empirically. I'm talking to you what I know God works with. God is not interested in just shutting the door at His gate, at His face every time. Many people fast and pray from morning to night. And immediately after the prayer, they just share the grace. The next day, they look for water and food and they eat. What a wasted time. They don't have time to actually for quietness. If you can wait on God for a whole day, fasting and prayer, what does it cost to stay for 30 minutes? For 40 minutes, just read your Bible, pray, and just open your heart, mind to God. And just open your spirit unto God. We need patience. We need quietness. If we want to really interact with God intimately. And the next thing about this, under communication, before I go to God, there's other two things I'm going to talk about before we round up today. I want you to know, that you cannot seek direction from God using search engines. What did I say? You cannot seek direction from God using search engines. You know, this is the world of IT. We are used to search engines, am I right? You want to, many of you, those of you are academic, you want to write a paper. You just Google. What topic you are looking at? I remember when I was undergraduate, you go to the library, you are looking for a book, there's a catalog. They have the call card A to Z. They now number, you now go to the bookshelf. And when you get to the bookshelf again, there's also an arrangement. You go manually, systematically to look for the book. But now you don't need to do that. You are in the e-library, you just go and open the system. You just type, am I right? And it pops up. And whoever is going to get it knows where to go and pick the book for you. So we are used to getting everything quick and fast. And so we want to use search engine for God. People want to know the ways of God by search engine. Pastor, what is God saying about this thing? They go to prophets. I want to marry. See, this sister A, sister B, sister C, prophet, which of the three? Just tell me. They want to use search engines. You cannot hear from God using search engines. You have to create the time to relate with your Father. What does the Bible say in Psalm 46, verse 10? And then we go to 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Let's look at 46:10 first. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And 1 Thessalonians 4:11, what does it say? 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Where it says that study to be quiet. Okay, now it's here. And that ye study to be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Which means you need enough time with God. Not just looking for the will of God in agitation. People want to get married, they are agitated. They are looking for job, they are agitated. They are looking for promotion, they are agitated. They are looking for breakthrough, they are agitated. Everything is by the spirit of agitation. And they want somebody that can quickly tell them what to do. And that is why many of them are misled. A brother was sharing with me shortly, I thank God for the love of that brother. Because a man of God, so to say, realized he was desperate. And now started, he took control of his life. And told him, she was for the many. Anything I tell you, don't tell anybody. He told him Yoruba. That is, you just put, I don't interpret it now, so that bro, expansion can understand. He said that you be like a baby that just rests on the back of the mother with the head. Just rest on my back. So anywhere I carry you, just follow me. You know when you carry a baby on the back? The baby has no choice. Where you are going, that baby is going. That's what the man of God told him. But anything I tell you, don't tell anybody. Why? Because he was looking for search engines. But suddenly the brother realized that this cannot be God. How can this man be talking to me and I cannot cross-check with anybody and I'm not hearing it directly from God? The brother then came to me. I said, sir, I'm going through this situation. This and that. I said, my brother, you better run. any man of God that tells you is the one, is the Alpha and Omega over your life. And anything he tells you, you cannot cross it with anybody. And you don't need to bother to ponder whatever he says. Just go and implement. Then you have no life gain. He's the one living your life for you. Even God does not run our life like that. So what am I saying? When people are looking for direction, but in looking for it, they are not ready to go the whole hog with God. They are not ready to be patient with God. They are not ready to relate and communicate with God. They will be looking for search engines. There are so many spiritual Google now. And we have so many spiritual Google maps that you can use, and they are consultants. But be sure they are going to get their fee, and their consultancy is very, very high. I might even cost you your destiny. God forbid. So let everybody who wants direction from God this year land on his home. One, to relate with God. Secondly, to communicate with him. Am I right? What the first thing you should do? Relate with him. Secondly, do what? First thing. Second, and he related. I said, you cannot relate at a distance. You cannot relate by proxy. And in communication, there's no search engines. You need quietness. You need patience. You must learn to listen. And number three, because of my time, for you to receive direction for your life and for this year, you must learn to eliminate distraction. God wants to speak to many of us, but we are too distracted. And we are focusing on so much of distraction. And until we take the distraction away, we cannot really see the way of God. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 says, the year that King Uzziah died. Is that not what the Bible says? Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. Isaiah was a man of God. He was a prophet. But he was seeing the ways of God through the prism of the king, the royalty, the paraphernalia of office, the benefits, the aspiration of the kingdom of King Uzziah, not the kingdom of God. I don't know what is serving a distraction for you that does not allow you to actually focus on God. Remember what I tell you. Nothing can be big enough to distract you from seeking the Lord. You can't be planning for tomorrow without having a guidance about tomorrow. No matter how a man can say he can forecast, he can predict, no man has been given the ability about tomorrow. I've told you the only thing that is uncertain about tomorrow is what? Is uncertainty. And that's why you need to live by God, relate with God, communicate with God on a daily basis. I was reading something on social media yesterday on my WhatsApp, and somebody was predicting 2019 election. You would think ANEC has already declared the result. He was taking state by state. And he said he was almost giving the figures and the percentage of defeat of success. And he was putting everything with geodetic accuracy. I said, even this guy should be able to tell us when Jesus Christ will come back. If he can predict with this precision, then you can know the second day of the law, which is not possible. And that is why when people don't have time to really see God on their own, you know that there are so many conflicting predictions now. Do you know that? Go and read social media. And they will say this man predicted 2015. If you that, they will give you the background. And we predict in one way. Another one you read now, they will also tell you what he has done that he said has come to pass before. and we predict exactly the opposite thing. So where do we then belong? Let everybody learn how to relate with God. Let everybody learn how to hear God. That's only we cannot be confused. And for you to do that, you must eliminate distraction. Everything that distracts you from focusing on Him. Everything that distracts you from listening to Him. Everything that distracts you from walking in the path in which He can guide you. So you must relate, you must communicate, and you must do what? Eliminate distraction. I won't go further because of my time. And finally, I want to say, this year, we are going to conquer territories. I say, by the grace of the Lord, by the anointing of the living God, you will conquer new territories in the mighty name of Jesus. But you must know that for you to conquer territories, you must start by conquering spirit. Every territory, I told you before, has a spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 18 is instructive in this direction. Look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter, the story of Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. Jesus sent the 78. Okay, let's look at 70. I said Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 18. Not 17 to 18. Now we know this story, but let's read it. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Know the background to that story. Just send them in pairs. And he said they should go. And then when they got there, they found out there were breakthrough, there were no testimony. And he just came back rejoicing. We didn't know it was this easy. But just like the press on the button, that even the devils, they were subject unto us. Our name, through your name. But what Jesus said in verse 18? Look at verse 18. That's very instructive. That's the key. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. They saw the practicality, but you just saw the vision of what was behind. It was when the Satan, over the territory where they went, fell like lightning, then the devil then submitted to them. Without those spirits, without those devil falling and submitting under the authority of Jesus, they could not have come back with testimony. So they were seeing the manifestation, but Jesus was seeing what's behind the unseen. What does that mean? Any territory that Lord is giving you a vision to conquer this year, it might be in your financial life, it might be in your marital life, it might be in your business, you will be able to stand on your feet and conquer that spirit. Before you even attempt to acquire, to possess, to execute, conquer the spirit over that place ahead. Don't just say, God has given me the vision. God has given me the promise. The mistake many Christians make at times, that when God gives up promise, when give up vision, we are too engrossed with what God has promised that we do not take care of the responsibility of that promise. Don't just be carried away by what God is saying, but stand on your feet. Conquer the spirit of that territory. Conquer the spirit of that arena. Cause that spirit to fall like lightning. Then you can then walk there in victory. This year, my brother and my sister, the Lord will visit you. The Lord will expand your coast. The Lord will enlarge your territory. The Lord will call you to live in dominion. But not this thing, four things. One, take care of your relationship with God. Two, be in intimate communication with Him. Number three, take away all distraction. Number four, know that you are to conquer the spirit before you occupy the territory. Any attempt to conquer it, to occupy a territory without conquering the spirit, will lead to trouble. But finally, I want to prophesy into your life. From the book of Isaiah chapter 41. And one of the two verses, a passage that Lord gave me to prophesy into your life for this month. Actually, the spirit of the Lord is one. Pastor, I will mention one of them this morning. But didn't go into the full part. But she started it, meaning that the spirit of the Lord is one. But first of all, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13 to 14. And that will go to chapter 44, 1 to 7. But look, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13 to 14. For I, the Lord, will hold your right hand. Can you see? You are walking to this year. You may not know the way. Why do you hold the hand of a child? You hold his hand because he may not know the way. You hold his hand because you don't want it to fall. You hold his hand because you don't want it to go astray. And sometimes you hold his hand because you want to walk fast at your own pace. When you hold the hand of a baby, the baby is not walking at his own pace. It's walking at your own pace. This year you are going to walk at the pace of God. God said, I will hold your right hand. Say unto thee, fear not, I will help you. This year, I declare. This month, I declare, my God, your God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will hold your right hand, and you walk at his pace in the mighty name of Jesus. When he holds your right hand, he knows the way you may not know. Tomorrow is uncertain. There's uncertainty about tomorrow. But there's a God that knows tomorrow. He's holding your right hand right now and will lead you into your tomorrow in the mighty name of Jesus. Say, fear not. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. God said, I will help you. And my God will help you. The God of Israel will help you. Verse 14 says, verse 14 of that Isaiah 41. Fear not, thou worm. Fear not, ye men of Cedar Land. I will help thee, said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. My brother, my sister, do not worry about anybody, what anybody is saying this year. All you need to do is to put your right hand into the hands of God. But if anybody is here today, and he's not ready to put his right hand into the hand of God, he has a lot to worry about. He has a lot to worry about. But once you are ready to put your right hand into the hand of God, there's nothing to worry about. And now Isaiah 44 verse 1 to 7 quickly. The passage which Pastor Misawi started reading for us in the morning to bless us, to prophesy into our lives. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 1 to 7. She read from verse 1 to 2. I just want to extend to verse 7. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant. And I don't know your name. And Ayoba me whom I have chosen. Go back to verse 1. Read it yourself. Hear now, O Jacob, my servant. And Ayoba me whom I have chosen. Are you saying Ayobami? I say Ayobami. You don't love your pastor again. Verse 2. Even pastor, I thought he's my friend. Thus said the Lord that made you, that formed you from the womb. See, when God begins to speak, like, you know, God is very serious. Because he's going to the genealogy, he's going to the origin of your creation. He's going to your very beginning to let you know how he started. The I that know the way he started. How can I not be confident to see how he's going to end? Say, I, the Lord, have formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my son, and thou, Ayoba, me would have chosen. Verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Everybody who is thirsty for something
or the other in the household of Cedar, whether that person is now in Nigeria or outside Nigeria, the Lord will pour water upon that area where you are thirsty in the mighty name of Jesus, and flood upon dry grounds. Every area where the ground is dry, you have been walking on dry ground, but the time has come, and now it is time that Lord will call flood of water upon dry ground, that the ground will soften under your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. And not only that, I will pour my spirit, because the spirit that energizes, that empowers, that actualizes, I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. Verse 4. We are starting at verse 7 and then we then pray. And they shall spring up. I say your joy will spring up. Your glory will spring up. Your testimony will spring up. Your success will spring up. In the mighty name of Jesus. As among the grass and as the willows by the water courses. Then verse 5. One shall say, I am the Lord. Another shall come and say, by the name of Jacob. Another shall succor with his hand unto the Lord. And surname name said, by the name of Israel. Verse 6. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first. I am the last. And beside me, there's no God. Verse 7. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me. God will set everything in order for you this year. Every area of your life will be set in order by God in the mighty name of Jesus. So since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are, look at that, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. God will show you things that shall come. Things that are coming. And you will not be blind. In the mighty name of Jesus. Things that are coming. Things that shall come. You shall not be ignorant of them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you stand on your feet? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
All fear is gone because I know.
To pray to round up now, but the Lord is telling me two things wonder there are some people who are so discouraged to the point of even disbelieving God. You come to church, you are still in the service, but in your heart you have been so discouraged to the point of almost disbelieving Him. God is telling me to tell you this morning that He's going to visit you. And God is telling me that there are some people who have been struggling, who have been in a very long, serious struggle. God is telling me to tell you that He's going to give you a breakthrough very soon. Irrespective of which of the one you belong to, I want you to begin to pray to God this morning. If you are so weary, you are so tired, that you're almost disbelieving God, God is telling me to tell you, hold on, I'm going to visit you. Begin to ask that, God, forgive me of my own belief. I expect your visitation. And for those who have been struggling, you have been engaged in a long-term struggle, begin to ask God that, thank God, I thank you because this is time for my breakthrough. This is time for me to share my testimony. Marunda kaskamba lenso popoko shempo ligo brumo ko shempo korugo brumo kakaka sampa laba ranga gaga gaga sampa laga brumo ko shempo korugo po brumo gaga 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 mara gaga 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 sampa laga ra andakus ki baba baba mahosi gababa shanda laba. In the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord and my God, I pray for this set of people. Those who are so troubled, so weary, that they are almost giving up and they are almost disbelieving you. My Lord, this morning, help their unbelief. Help their unbelief. Help their unbelief. In the mighty name of Jesus. My Father and my God, turn things around for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the dry ground upon which they are standing be softened. In the mighty name of Jesus. And for those who are being in a very long struggle, Father, let them push into breakthrough. Let them push into their success. Let them push into their testimony. Anybody who has been stagnated in any particular area of life, Father, this month, let there be a lifting. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord my God, let not your people be blind. Speak unto your people. Lord, let everyone relate with you intimately. Let everybody communicate with you regularly. Let everybody take away any form of distraction. Let everybody have a determination to conquer the spirit of the territories. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, this year, let every one of us share and have new testimonies. Lord, give us the vision we need to run. And let us go ahead and fulfill the purpose. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying.